Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Do you have a water leak and can't find where it's coming from? Are you dealing with water or mold damage in your home or business? Then call Water Cleanup of Florida at 954-579-0356 for immediate assistance. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, and their team is prepared to handle all types of leak detection issues, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. After the leak has been located and repaired, Water Cleanup of Florida will then clean, dry, and fully restore the damaged areas. Water Cleanup of Florida is fully licensed, insured, and certified to provide the one-stop shopping that busy homeowners and business owners require. There is no need to bring in other contractors. They will handle the entire project from start to finish. Service areas include Miami, Broward, and Palm Beach counties. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356, or visit their website at WCUFL.com. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
Chris and the guys at Greenview Construction LLC are a firm offering professional services in design and, of course, construction. And they are proud to announce that they've completed design and 3D renderings for two spec home models located in the Jupiter and Palm Beach Gardens area, sitting on over 1 acre lots. Now, they've got four lots available for these model homes. The first is a British West Indies model style, totaling just over 4,500 square foot, air-conditioned space, five bedrooms, five bathrooms, and they boast 16-foot ceilings in some areas. The second, more traditional style home, 3,100 square foot, air-conditioned space, four bedrooms and four baths. So they boast 14-foot ceilings in some areas. Both models will have a free-flowing layouts that connect the kitchen, the family room, living room, library, a den, and outdoor lanai. And both models will have an option to add a detached in-law suite if you really want the in-laws to move in, and a garage totaling an additional 1,000 square foot. You can visit Chris and the team online at www.greenviewconstruction.com. You can email Chris Tyson, that's C-Tyson, as in Mike Tyson, C-Tyson at greenviewconstruction.com. Or you can call 561-727-5013. They're also on Facebook, they're on Instagram, they're on Twitter. Just look for Greenview Construction. And if that wasn't enough, they have an appointment-only showroom at 715 Commerce Way West, Suite 14 in Jupiter, Florida.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is not here. He's dealing with a personal matter. Simon, hello.
Hey, Alf.
There must be a big game on Sunday. Everybody's talking about this.
Yeah, I think it's the Jets against the Carolina Panthers.
Baker Mayfield versus Joe Flacco. That is kind of sexy. That's a sexy matchup.
That's about as sexy as
it
gets, right?
It is, especially Joe Flacco. He's killing it. Joe Flacco might not give back that job, and we're gonna talk about that in a second about another guy who might not give back that job. But this show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Use the promo code 5. That's the word 5, FIVE, and you get $100 if you deposit $100, you get a $100 match bonus, which means you don't have to roll it over 1,000 times. You roll it over once. So in essence, they're giving you $100 to bet with. So do it. Manscaped, of course, 5RSN, 20% off your entire order. Use the promo code 5RSN. All right, we'll start here. Bills are overwhelming, Simon. This is the best team in football. No doubt about that, right?
Yeah, unquestionably.
And you look at them and they, you know, the Titans, I think the Titans might be that type of team where they were the one seed last year. They could be bad this year. They just do not look like the same team. They took that injury to Taylor Lewana and they just got absolutely manhandled in that game. The Rams, I thought it was just, it was driven by Stafford. That score was 10-10 at halftime, and it looked like a good football game. And then Stafford just completely unraveled. But the Bills, the way that they're doing it on defense, they're pretty conservative on the back end, but they're getting home with four. Mm. What have you seen about what they're doing up front?
Yeah, I mean, very much that. They get internal pressure and a lot of it. Obviously with Ed Oliver, with Jordan Phillips, who we know really well. And it allows their guys on the edge to really do their thing. And they've got some funky setups in terms of how they line guys up. We talked about it on Monday, but, you know, you'll have Von Miller on one side and then they'll rush, you know, Boogie Basham, Greg Rousseau and AJ Epinesa almost in a sort of a bus stop formation. On the other side, they get a lot, like I said, a lot of internal push as well, which forces the quarterbacks out of the pocket. Two linebackers who are both very good, very fast, sideline to sideline. Matt Milano is the absolute heartbeat of that team. I mean, he really is arguably the most underrated player in the NFL. And then Tremaine Edmonds, both of them are flying machines. I mean, they've got the best safety combo in the league in Poyer and Hyde. And really, they cover up some of the issues at corner. Skeen covers it up because they play a lot of zone, a little bit of man mixed in, but Sean McDermott, historically a zone guy, obviously Leslie Frazier as well, who's the defensive coordinator. Dane Jackson don't think will play, obviously, because of the neck injury, but they sort of float Teron Johnson around as a sort of a safety corner hybrid. But it looks like they're going to end up starting Christian Benford, the rookie, or two mm-hmm. rookies, really, Benford. Undrafted free agent out of Villanova, or a six-round pick out of Villanova, sorry. And then and Kaya Elam, who they took in the first round. Obviously, Tre'Davious White, really good corner, but he's on IR. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And you know, I don't think you'll be seeing a lot of mistakes. They just play, you know, elementary football. They play mistake-free football. And those safeties really do a fantastic job of either running the alley or playing deep coverage. And you don't see too many times where they get beaten. You certainly won't see what we saw against Baltimore, I don't think, at the weekend in terms of matchup and those guys getting beaten over the top.
Yeah. And Hussam Patel, he has a thread where he alerted us to some things that he uncovered. And it's the same things that we were talking about right now. The Bills week one had 6% of their snaps in man coverage, 84% in zone. Week two was 11% in man coverage, 89% in zone. What I find the most interesting about the Bills is that they like to have, and they almost insist on having, Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds play almost the entire goddamn game. Mm. Like, you know, they want them on the field at all times, both linebackers. And I'll give you an example. They beat the Rams, okay? They beat them 31-10, which stands to reason that the Rams are throwing a lot late, right? Matt Milano played 99% of the snaps.
Yeah.
Tremaine Edmonds played 99% of the snaps. Okay? So you're talking about two guys that basically stayed there the entire game. In the second game, both played 80% against the Tennessee Titans. Tennessee Titans went a little bit I don't know. I guess that they tried to open it up a little bit late. They started using a lot of 11 personnel, which is completely out of character because they're mostly a 12 personnel team. So maybe Buffalo decided, you know what, let's counter by having an extra defensive back out there. But they like to play those two linebackers. Mm. How do you go about attacking those guys?
I mean, I think you've got to establish the run game. I mean, I think it's vitally important this week. You know, Mostert and Edmonds. Chris talked about it the other day on OnlyFins in terms of Mike McDaniel talked about getting Tyreek out of the backfield. Is this the week that we see a little bit of that? But that running game's got to be, you know, it's got to be on point. The short passing game, those smash concepts, the crosses, the in-breaking routes that we run, attacking the middle of the field. But obviously, you know, you've got that triumvirate of Johnson and Milano and Teron Johnson, who kind of cover that. They like to flood the middle of the field because they think they can get home with four, which they often do. So I think it's a short passing game this week mixed in with some heavy run. And especially if we can get those defensive tackles running upfield. If you look back at the Chase Edmonds run on the final drive, it's that kind of thing. It's a hat on a hat. It's getting defenders turned. It's making use or taking advantage of them rushing upfield and using their momentum against them, essentially, to turn them out of holes. And then you're in a battle, you know, at the second level with those linebackers. But if you're consistently picking up chunk yardage in the run game, that's going to make things significantly easier in the pass game. And what it will end up doing is that Poyer and Hyde will, one of them will have to step up into the box to help out and run support. And at that point, then you can start taking your shots over the top. I don't think you can do it necessarily just against that match coverage where they play those two deep safeties.
Yeah. And, you know, what do you say to maybe spreading it out a bit more and using a lot of those empty formations, even when you have 21 personnel, to try to get Matt Milano and Tremaine Edmonds in space? Something that it seemed like Mike McDaniel was keen on doing against the Ravens, to great success, by the way.
I think McDaniel also will try and get the ball spread out a little bit more. You know, we did become extreme, you know, it was hugely successful, but we became extremely reliant on two players, really, especially in the second half, which is great because they're two great players. But I don't know if Cedric Wilson's going to play, whether the ribs are okay, but, you know, Sherfield and Craycraft, whether Izukanama plays, but Freddie Swain on the practice squad, feels like, from what Wes Welker was saying today, that perhaps Swain might be further up the pecking order than the rookie, just in terms of, you know, he made a very pointed comment about, you know, this is not hand signals at Texas Tech anymore. This is, you know, this is the NFL. Obviously, Freddie Swain's played a number of seasons in Seattle. Obviously, the issue with River Craycraft, of course, is that he can only be called up one more time from the practice squad for the rest of the season. And he's, you know, he's had a big impact. So, and also the tight end game, I think, is a big game for Mike Gesicki. I think it'll be a big game for the running backs out of the backfield. Wouldn't surprise me to see Miles Gaskin actually active this week, just in terms of his hands and getting the ball out of the backfield. But yeah, you've got to establish the run game. If you can't establish the run game, it's going to be a long day, because, you know, you don't want that defense putting you in third and, you know, six, third and eight behind the sticks the whole time. That's not what you want to be doing. You want to be picking up 6-8 yards on first down with the run game, and then that's opening up everything else with the pass game. But we do fit that kind of, you know, what the Bills play, a lot of that cover zero in terms of just those short passes, accuracy, moving the ball, moving the chains, keeping it moving. I think it's going to be a really interesting battle when we have the ball on offense.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the more I look at this game, and everybody, you know, everybody's just so, they just want to bring up the last 5 years for whatever reason. And yeah, I understand completely. Josh Allen is 7-1 against the Dolphins. Absolutely. Okay, that's great. All right. You understand that there's like two players left from the team like 3 years ago? Like, this is an absolutely brand new team. Now, you want to say something else, you could say that Josh Allen has defeated this defense 3 straight times.
Yeah.
Okay, you could say that, because he absolutely did. They were a completely different defense the first time around in 2020. At the end of 2020, it was closer to what they are now. And last year in 2021, it was essentially this same defense. Except, you know, of course, you have Melvin Ingram. And you have a year further along. You also have Kader Kohu, who's getting a lot of good press this week. But you can say that. I keep going back at that game last year in Buffalo the second time around. I thought the defense played very, very well. And the offense was basically, it was an albatross in that game. The score was 3-3 late in the third quarter. It was 17-11 with 9 minutes left. It was begging for the offense to do something, and they just couldn't. They couldn't get out of first gear. Do you go back to that game and take a little bit of solace in that our defense might have figured something out against Josh Allen?
Sure. I mean, I suppose the flip side of that is that it's another year for them to figure out how to play that defense. And you look at, for example, at the Ravens and how successful they were last weekend in terms of stymieing our cover zero blitzes. You know, what the Ravens did absolutely pertinently and perfectly, really, was that they, and look, it's a copycat league. You know, these things are going to happen. So I would not be surprised to see this. You know, it's almost like the ball is now back in Josh Boyer's court. It's like, okay, they figured out how to combat your cover zero blitzes. So what's your next move? And essentially what the Ravens did was that they would run late motion and they would motion a receiver or a tight end essentially into the face of the blitz. And Dolphins defenders, because of the motion, wouldn't be sure whether they were dropping, whether they were going, whether they were all those sorts of things. And when they did block, when they did blitz, oftentimes instead of being, you know, 7-8 against six, actually it was 7-8 against seven because they motioned a guy into the heart of the formation. And I think it just confused the Dolphins defense. So I think the ball is very much in Josh Boyer's court in terms of just trying to figure out exactly how to get the best out of that unit. The other obvious issue is you're playing Josh Allen, who has been, as you say, perennially fantastic against us. And the thing that concerns me most is how good he is. And it always happens. You know, the Dolphins have been historically very good at putting the Bills behind the sticks and putting them in third and long situations, only for Josh Allen to convert with his legs on third down. I don't know how many times, certainly over the last two or three years, where Allen has converted play after play on third and 10, third and 13, just by getting out of the pocket. The Dolphins obviously have to sort of manufacture pressure by bringing extra players. And we saw on Sunday when we didn't manufacture pressure and we just rush four, we find it very hard to get home. But Jalen Phillips hasn't started the season very well. Ogba, we know, is not Lawrence Taylor, but he's consistent and he's good against the run. He gets his hands up. He'll get you 8, 9, 10 sacks a season, but he's not, you know, he's not a front foot, bend the edge, you know, elite pass rusher. And the interior defensive linemen do a really good job, but they do their job, which is not necessarily, you know, you're not going to see Raekwon Davis racking up 8, 10 sacks. That's not his game. So, you know, the Dolphins, by the very nature, have to manufacture pressure. Now, the interesting question for me is whether or not, for example, they'll run, does Channing Tindall have a role to play at the weekend in terms of spying? Does a spy even work? You know, but I do feel like the Dolphins have to have a plan for these third down plays, because you just can't consistently allow the Bills to continue to keep drives going by the fact that their quarterback can just, you know, escape contain and pick up yards with his feet, because that's demoralizing, especially in the heat for that defense when you think you're going to get off the field and it's third and 13 or whatever. And then, boom, there he is again, picking up 14 yards on third down using his legs. So it will be very interesting to see how it plays out. But they've got to have a plan for him. They've got to.
Yeah, and I always go back to two games last year that Josh Allen didn't play all that great. That was the opener against the Steelers. And, of course, when they lost to the Jaguars 9-6, I tend to throw that one away. Okay, I'm going to throw away the Jaguar game because, first of all, you're not going to hold Josh Allen to 6 points. Sorry, Dolphin fans. Okay, it'd be nice, though, if they did. But that's not happening. I can almost, like, 99.9% guarantee that will not happen. What can happen is the game plan that the Steelers used against the Buffalo Bills that kind of stymied Josh Allen. Josh Allen had, he kind of turned into the old Josh Allen, which is, you know, the old cliche of the inaccurate big arm quarterback. He had 21 incompletions. Melvin Ingram was on that defense, by the way, that day. And the Steelers, what they did, and I don't know if you would agree with this, just trying to take part of that game plan and just trying to roll it out there. First of all, it was conservative because they stayed in zone most of the game and they only rushed four or five, and they rushed five on occasion. I believe it was 8 times they rushed five. The rest of the game, they rushed four against Josh Allen. It was as conservative a game plan as you could have against Josh Allen, and it seemed to work. They were forcing him to throw into pretty tight windows the entire game. Is it as easy as you can't dare, you know, you can't be too daring against Josh Allen because he can make you pay so easily. So just be conservative and be sound and tackle. Is it as easy as that?
I mean, I think it absolutely is. I think it's easy to say that, you know, you blitz him or you do that. But, you know, we've seen throughout his career and certainly the last two or three years how phenomenal he is against the blitz. You know,
yep.
You look at what he did to the Titans the other night. The Titans are no mugs. You know, I don't think they're a great team, but they're certainly no mugs. And anytime you've got a Kevin Byard in your secondary, then, but I just thought the way that, you know, the way that Ken Dorsey has been manufacturing matchups in terms of getting Stephon Diggs on different players. And we saw that last time out in Miami where Brian Daboll was able to get him lined up on Noah Igbinoghene and really make him pay. I think you'll see a lot of that. I think you'll see a lot of moving Diggs around the formation. But look, they beat the Titans. They didn't even have Gabe Davis playing. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, here they were with, you know, Isaiah McKenzie and Jake Kumerow caught a big pass down the field and Jamison Crowder, who we all know really well from the Jets, who's had some big catches against the Dolphins over the years. Didn't even really use the rookie Khalil Shakir, who had a great training camp, was excellent at the Senior Bowl. And then they've got these guys out the back, you know, James Cook out the backfield and Singletary, and here comes Zach Moss. And, oh, and by the way, you've got a really good tight end in Dawson Knox as well, you know. So it's pick your poison. It's going to be a really interesting game. But I wonder what they'll do with Howard. And it was slightly unnerving to see him on the injury report this week with the groin, or on the injury report today with the groin injury. You know, do they move Howard around with Diggs? Do you want Diggs with Kader Kohu? I mean, I don't think you do. You know, as good as the rookie's been in extremely limited snaps, you don't want him lining up with, you know, one of the two or three best route runners in the NFL on Sunday, because he will get run ragged, I think. So, but, you know, McKenzie and Crowder on third down can be equally as frustrating. And, you know, I suspect that Eric Rowe will take Dawson Knox, but, you know, that's a big old ask for, you know, especially if Gabe Davis comes back as well without us having Byron Jones. I would be nervous about the damage that they can do. So you've got to get pressure on Allen, but blitzing him, you know, is another question altogether.
Yeah, and that's a great point that you came up with right there on Stephon Diggs, as far as if they're going to use Xavier Howard to travel with him. The question was asked of Josh Boyer at his press conference today, and he didn't deny it. Like, he gave it legs, because he talked about, yeah, that's something that, you know, I've never traditionally wanted to do, but it's something that you obviously might have to do in this circumstance. So he was paying it lip service, kind of like how he was paying the zero blitzes lip service last week, where he was having this uncomfortable back and forth with Lamar Jackson over the media, whether he was going to do it or not. Well, he blitzed them zero blitz 10 out of the first 11 snaps. Of course, we saw the results, right? Mm. They weren't good. But it was very interesting. Tim Graham was on, I believe he was on with, yeah, he was on with Joe Rose two mornings ago, and they were asking him about the personnel on the Buffalo side on the offensive side of the football for the Buffalo Bills. And he was saying that the most uneasy position on that team is the running back position, because they expected by week one that James Cook would be the starter and get the majority of the snaps. But he says that the Devin Singletary is like the most, like he has like 15 lives. Like, you just cannot get rid of him. So he expects that James Cook will take a backseat for a while, and that they're going to continue with this. Devin Singletary will be the starter, and Zach Moss will be the third down guy. He'll catch passes out of the backfield. What have you seen from those two running backs? I think Devin Singletary's off to a great start. I think they look great with those two guys.
Yeah.
What do you think of that rushing attack so far this year?
I mean, it's complementary. They play complementary football really well. I think Singletary's a good player. I think Zach Moss obviously brings a little bit more hard-headedness, a little bit more running over people, whereas Singletary tends to run around people. I think they've slowly started to trust Cook. He had the big fumble with his first touch against the Rams in week one. He had the big carry on Monday night against the Titans, the long carry in the fourth quarter or late in the third quarter, the 33-yard run. So I think they're beginning to start to trust him, the little sweep action with the fullback around the end. But yeah, I like what they do. I thought that kind of coming into the draft that they probably would look early at a running back. And obviously they took Cook, who's kind of that sort of third downy type, a little bit smaller than his brother, a little bit, you know, you wonder whether or not he can carry a load, carry 20 times. But Singletary just seems to be improving year on year. And, you know, I know they really like him up in Buffalo. He's a good kid, good player. And he's, like I said, he's just got better and better as his career's gone on, really. I mean, he's never going to be a Dalvin Cook. He's never going to be a, you know, Christian McCaffrey when he's healthy, but he certainly can be complementary to all they do on offense. He sort of feels like the perfect back for that system.
Now, Xavier Howard today volunteered. This is Thursday. We're recording this on Thursday, the 22nd of September. And Xavier Howard volunteered, yeah, I'm playing. I didn't feel all too great. My groin wasn't all too great on Wednesday. I needed the rest day. I feel good today. I should feel great by Sunday. Sam Madison also volunteered that he wasn't all too happy with his technique on this past Sunday. But is this the moment where, because we've begged for it, and if you've watched the Bills play so far this year, it, you know, you got a almost a $20 million cornerback who's headed for the Ring of Honor for the Dolphins. And if he keeps this up for another 4 or 5 years, might have a shot at the Hall of Fame. It's time. You got to try to beat this team. Their best player on offense, besides their quarterback, of course, is Stephon Diggs. He should travel the entire game. You agree?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I don't know whether he will, but he probably should.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think this is the time. Like, you know, you pay guys like this for this particular matchup.
Exactly.
And if you watch the Bills play, man, if you could just hold down Stephon Diggs just a little bit, I'm not talking about completely shut him down, but, you know, a nice little tidy 5 for 60 would be nice. If you could do that, that goes a long way to holding that offense down.
Yeah.
Now, we already talked about the Bills playing a lot of zone. It's no secret the Dolphins want to get the ball to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle all throughout camp. And we talked about this on OnlyFans, and you could be on OnlyFans, of course, for $3 a month. I got to ask you this. Is this the offense? And we've seen it all throughout camp. We've saw it through the first two games. This offense is just focused on those two guys, and they're going to give those targets to those two guys. Now, today, Wes Welker said, you know, we'd be dumb, you know, to keep forcing the ball to those two guys, but they're obviously our best players. So it stands to reason they're going to get the lion's share of the targets. They're going to be facing possibly two rookies. There's no reason to think that this is going to change this week. It should be a heavy target load for both guys. Agree?
I certainly agree to an extent. You don't want to become so predictable that you just rely on, you know, and you have two great safeties. You just sit on those routes, especially on those, you know, we know what's coming. A lot of those short balls, a lot of the sort of the Alabama, the tunnel screens and those sorts of things. You don't want to risk being so predictable that you allow, you know, elite free and strong safeties to come up and make interceptions or, you know, all those sorts of things. So I think you have to be really careful. And I do feel like McDaniel was not lying when he said he wanted to spread the wealth around a bit more, you know, which is great. But also, and look, you know, I thought it was quite interesting that, you know, you go back and look at the snap counts. It's not like Hill and Waddle played, you know, they got a good amount of rest.
Yeah.
And I think he's got to continue, you know, he's got to continue doing that. He's got to continue mixing up. Obviously made slightly more difficult by the Cedric Wilson issue and whether or not he wears like a flak jacket or whether or not he can't go because, you know, ribs are, you know, painful at the best of times without somebody running into you with a motorbike helmet at, you know, 22 miles an hour or whatever. So, I think that's going to be really interesting, a really interesting issue in terms of whether or not Cedric plays. I just feel like it's a big game for Mike Gesicki this week. I think that's where the Dolphins could really, you know, could really make some hay, I think. And, you know, especially if they're, you know, they're giving Benford and Elam extra help on the outside with Hill and Waddle or wherever Hill and Waddle go to, whether that's the backfield, whether that's the slot, whatever. You do feel like that might open some spaces for Mike Gesicki.
Yeah. Now we know a couple of things. Micah Hyde, today's Thursday. Like I said earlier, Micah Hyde went for a second opinion on his neck and he left town for it. That's happening on a Thursday. That can't be a good sign for him to suit up on Sunday. That's obvious. Dane Jackson was in the hospital. I don't know how you go from the hospital to playing a football game the following Sunday.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if Dane Jackson plays, especially with the, you know, that's a fairly brutal neck injury.
But I look at their depth chart, and I see he's one of my favorite players, but talk about one-dimensional. Damar Hamlin is
Micah Hyde's backup, we know who he is. He's an alley runner. He's a thumper. He will hit you. But coverage is, pass coverage is the moon to DeMar Hamlin.
Yeah. I think Hyde will play. I do think Hyde will play. I don't think Jackson will play.
Okay. So we're going to face basically Poirier and Hyde. I don't think that they're going to play Hamlin all that much against us. Unless maybe in our 21 personnel, they might throw him out there a little bit. And maybe this is the game where Matt Milano doesn't see a lot of the field, but they like to play him the entire game. So yeah, maybe Tremaine Edmonds is the one that sits a little bit.
The weekend. Yeah, he had a stinger on against the Titans, but he's practiced both days this week, so I think he plays. It will be interesting to see what happens with Hyde, because you take him out of that, that's a massive loss. Either one of those safeties is a massive loss. Without Tre'Davious White, without Dane Jackson, and then without Micah Hyde, that is, that's the entire starting secondary except for, Poyer. So that is a massive, that's a massive issue, and the Dolphins would have to take advantage of. And Poyer was on the injury report himself today, which I thought was, I think it was his foot or his ankle. So, that's and then you look at, three defensive tackles, Phillips, Tim Settle, and Ed Oliver, all on the, all on the practice, all on the missed practice as well. So it's very interesting. And, if they're coming in and they're not healthy, this is a perfect, feels like a perfect storm, really.
It really does.
Especially if Hyde can't go.
Yeah, it really does. Now, let me ask you this question. I'm going to put you in Mike McDaniel's very, very expensive shoes. And by the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but our head coach wears like almost $30,000 worth of accessories to the game. Have you noticed that? He's wearing $10,000 watches. Well, it's a nice salary that you get for coaching an NFL team.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I'll put you in his $10,000 Breitling watch and his $500 Gucci belt. Do you want to keep the Bills in what they like to be in, which is their base defense, those two linebackers, the three cornerbacks, the two safeties? Do you want to keep them in that, or do you want to start moving one of those guys out of there? Because I tend to, I don't get it. Like, they're such a good defense, and those two linebackers play so much, but something tells me like that's actually a good thing for us. And if they start playing dime, that's actually a bad thing for us, because maybe they could cover more ground and they could get to us with just their front four. So do you want to keep them in what they do best and just attack it that way, because athletes are better?
But I just don't think they'll come out of it anyway, because they can cover, they can run sideline to sideline, they can play the run, they can blitz, they can do everything. So I just don't see a scenario in which either of them come off the field, because that's just not what the Bills do. I mean, they're comfortable trying to get home with four, because they know they've got these two athletic freaks at the second level who can do all those things I've just said. And then on the back end, they've got these safeties that can schematically help out either outside with corners, stepping up into the box and helping the linebackers, or running the alley, on outside zone runs and those sorts of things. I just don't see them changing. I don't. Why would you flood a secondary with substandard players, not substandard, but you know what I mean? Why would you bring in extra defensive backs like DeMar Hamlin, like Jaquan Johnson, like Cam Lewis, Ciaran Neal? Why would you put them in when you know that you've got these two guys, who can absolutely fly around? Tremaine Edmonds ran a 4.54 at the combine, at 200 and what is he, 40 pounds?
Yeah.
And Matt Milano, exactly, like we've talked about him, he's what, 200 and 30 pounds,
yeah,
he's 4.6.
Yeah, he's a lighter guy. Yeah, he's probably the best coverage linebacker in football, Matt Milano.
I just don't know why you take him out of the lineup, because it's not something they've done.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting chess match between Mike McDaniel and Sean McDermott, and Leslie Frazier, of course, not to mention him. All right, one last matchup before we talk about the actual game. Man, I watched Von Miller. He sure likes to rush blindside. I don't think that's going to change too much. He had three rushes from the left side against the Rams, spent the rest of the day going up against that rookie left tackle that the Rams had. Dolphins have Terron Armstead. That's a hell of a matchup.
Yeah.
Von Miller, Terron Armstead. Mike McDaniel said something very interesting in the preseason. He says he never understood why a tackle couldn't travel.
Yeah.
Von Miller, obviously, you got to block him, right? Buffalo, if I'm Buffalo, I'm rushing him on Greg Little, no?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
And Greg Rousseau just gets abused all game.
Yeah.
Poor Greg Rousseau.
I mean, but then Miller is, you know, this is Von Miller, you know, and the sort of the career redemption in a way over the last year in terms of he stayed injury free and they've, you know, both the Rams and now the Bills have done a really good job of sort of protecting him and not overplaying him. Interestingly, he's never played against a left-handed quarterback, apparently, he said today, which I thought was quite interesting. Mm. But yeah, I think, you know, Miller will want to go up against Teron Armstead and vice versa. Do you know what I mean? I think, you know, iron sharpens iron. You want to see these two guys up against each other. I think that's, you know, that's what you'll see. That's what you see on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. We went 35 minutes. We didn't mention the quarterback. I did that on purpose. Tua Tagovailoa versus Josh Allen, the matchup, you know, hopefully it's one that we're going to see for 10 years. I like so much stuff that so much of what Tua did against the Ravens. Oddly enough, I think he has to be at his, let's say, Carolina Panthers best. You remember that game last year against the Carolina Panthers where he was almost perfect in the intermediate zone throwing from.
He has to be, you know, Ravens best. That's what we need from him now, especially in these massive games over the next 2 weeks. He has to be that guy. If he falls away and it reverts back to kind of the inconsistency and the sort of the flashes of good and the flashes of mediocrity, you can't win with that. You can't win consistently against these really good teams. You have to now step up to the plate. You have to, you know, you took on the challenge of Lamar Jackson and you won it. Now you have to do the same with Josh Allen. You have to be big. You have to lead this team like you did last week. Anything less, not only will it be a defeat for the Dolphins, but the whole narrative that's been great the last week about how, okay, you know, this guy, look at this guy. It'll go back to, oh, well, last week was just a fluke. And it can't be that, you know, it can't be that.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's been popular all week saying, you know, Tua, if Tua is the Tua from the Carolina Panther game last year, where he was extremely efficient, between 8 to 12 yards over and over and over again, because that's what Buffalo's going to want. I completely disagree. I think you look at the athletes they have at cornerback, you look at the athletes we have at wide receiver, you must take advantage of that. And the way you take advantage of that is with your quarterback not being afraid and not playing on some type of schedule that keeps them under 12 yards. Mm-hmm. Keep pushing the ball. Play daring. Play with balls. That's how the coach has coached these first two games. Keep it going. Mm-hmm. They have a lot going for them. If they can't beat the Bills here, then essentially you're just trying to wait them out. You're trying to wait out and, you know, wait them out for what? For, you know, their cap situation to get a squeeze, which begins to happen next year as Josh Allen starts to get paid those big dollars. You know, screw that. You have an opportunity now to take a game from them. You have a lot of things that seem to be pointing to you having an advantage in this game. None bigger than those two wide receivers who I truly feel are as good as they are in this game. Maybe by the end of the year, you're going to have two guys that are top 10 wide receivers in the NFL. As of right now, they're number one and number three in receiving yards. I think that's where you have to win. And if you're going to take a game from the Bills, it's on Sunday. And if not, I guess we're just waiting them out. We're waiting them out for a year for them to weaken a little bit and we get stronger. I think I'll go first. If you're not going to get them this Sunday, you won't get them this year. And like I said, we're playing the waiting game or trying to avoid them in the playoffs. I think they get them. And I think it'll be dramatic because Josh Allen, I love our defense. I love the players that we have on defense. This is an offensive league. Josh Allen is an MVP candidate. As good as we may play, I still think he'll put up points. I think our field goal kicker gets one more than theirs. 30-27, Dolphins. Tua plays another efficient game. Josh Allen is out of this world. Tua beats him by a field goal. What say you?
35-31 to the Bills.
So you get the soul crushing but moral what's the word? What's the phrase?
Yeah, kind of moral victory.
The moral victory.
The Bills are just too good. You know, we talked about this. You can see a scenario where the Bills don't lose a game all season. They're that dominant.
Yeah, only injury can get them.
If the Dolphins are going to win, as the point you just made, if the Dolphins are going to win, there is no better time in terms of that sort of perfect storm of everything that happened last week, the injuries, the games in Miami, all those sorts of things. It could be this week, but I think the Bills will win. They're just too good.
All right. We'll talk about it on Monday. Hopefully we're talking about going 3-0. And then it's a short week, which means that next week we'll have one show because I guess we'll cover both. I guess it'll be a long show on Monday. We'll talk about what happened against the Buffalo Bills, and then we'll preview Dolphins, Bengals. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.